We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1. Where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Miami. It feels like Miami.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And with me today is not producer, co-founder Brian Goins. Brian is doing wedding stuff. Brian is finally having his wedding that he's always wanted in the middle of a pandemic. So good for Brian. Brian finally persevered after the NBA canceled his wedding, after Disney canceled his wedding, after the forces at play canceled his wedding, he finally has it. So we're giving him a night to prepare. In his stead, we have our 2K coach, Frankie Garcia.
Heat in six,
prediction right off the bat. We're also welcoming in friend of the show, honorary Heat Beat member, Kev. What's up, Kevin?
Raptors in six.
Raptors. Don't even play with me, man. My emotions, I'm still reeling. I'm still reeling. I really wanted this series. Welcoming back to the program after a while, one of the fans' favorite guests of The Athletic, basketball buds, nerder, she wrote all over the NBA sphere, the one and only Dave Dufour.
Hold on. Wait, the people like me on this podcast?
They like legit really like me. Oh, yeah. You are the only one out here standing Josh Richardson with us. So people appreciated that so much.
I'm surprised that when I said Bucks in five that they didn't disown me.
It's okay. We all switched to Zach. We're excited for basketball buds tomorrow. I hope Zach was able to take a victory lap on all of you guys. Zach is the only one with the guts and the culture.
You know, it's funny. It kind of just like ran out of steam, you know, because we got our slander in as it was happening. And then when it was over, it was like, okay, yeah, now let's move on to the next thing and talk about how Boston is just going to crush Miami.
Wow. Okay. So we're getting, you're in the Boston's going to crush. I see a lot of that on Twitter. I'm disappointed in Raptors Twitter, just automatically crowning the Celtics into the finals. I take a little disrespect to that. You like them? I really think the Heat are going to be able to score a lot easier against them than most people think.
No, the Celtics are, I mean, it's one of the best defenses in the league. It's been the best defense in the playoffs and certainly playing against Toronto and their non-existent half court offense helps with that. but when you've got the positional flexibility that the Celtics have, I mean, they can just switch so easily. You know, I just think that it's a tough matchup for Miami. Boston has more talent, right? And talent usually wins. And so I err on that side. Now, I think they Spo's a better coach than Brad Stevens. Although I will say Brad Stevens is one of the best defensive coaches I've ever seen, period. He might be the best defensive coach in the league right now. When you look at personnel and then productivity that they get defensively, he's been fantastic his entire career. Kemba Walker, clearly those guys like playing with him more. Jason Tatum's taking a leap. Jaylen Brown's taking a leap. Marcus Smart is, you know, one of my favorite players of all time. Gordon Hayward's going to be back. Daniel Tice is really good and somehow overlooked when we talk about all these really good small ball guys. And he anchored the fourth best defense in the league, and he's a legitimate stretch threat. Now, I know he only scores like 9 points a game, but he does so much stuff for that team. I just think it's too much. When you look at Miami, matching up for them is going to be tough. Goran is going to get picked to death. They're going to bum hunt on him.
That's my biggest concern. Yeah. That's my biggest concern. Is what I will counter with is, and I've watched a lot of film today, and like the Celtics are really they're really gung-ho on using Jaylen on Bam, and they have done that a lot. And I don't really think that the Celtics are going to be able to go as small as they might like. Bam has done a number on Marcus Smart, and I really do. And I know that they like Jaylen because he could be able to switch those handoffs that they run. I don't like the way Gordon Hayward is defending those handoffs, particularly on Duncan. He's always trailing, and I think Miami has a lot of motion.
Hayward's not guarding Duncan, though.
They have it. They have during the regular season. They have.
Yeah, but Jaylen Brown is going to probably be chasing him around.
I mean, they're going to want to switch those actions, but I don't know if they're going to. They really like him on Bam, and if Tice.
Oh, I know.
If Tice is not in the game, I don't think Marcus Smart does that good a job on Bam, so I don't really know who else they would go.
Well, I would guess that they're going to match up. I mean, look, it's the playoffs, and this is not Mike Budenholzer. Brad Stevens is going to play his best players 40-some-odd minutes a game, right? Like, that's just what it's going to be. Now, Tice is probably going to play, like, 33, 34 minutes. So it's only, like, 14 minutes that they got to figure out, and I'm just sure that they're going to match up Tice with Bam as much as they can. But I don't think that you saw in the regular season any of the wrinkles that Brad Stevens is going to be using defensively against Miami.
I mean, other than really switching those handoffs, and like I think during the playoffs, Miami has been a lot of a more north-south team. I think they've really, mm-hmm. I mean, Milwaukee really made that hell. I mean, Wesley Matthews, Chris Middleton, those guys going, Eric Bledsoe, some of the best people in the league at going over screens. And I don't think Boston has that kind of personnel as good as they are. No, Marcus Smart's great at that. But I think that that's going to give Miami a little more leeway. And I think they're going to really, especially in the playoffs, they've really gone to like that Goran, Jimmy Butler pick and roll, kind of get those smaller guys involved, get Kemba in the play and have Jimmy be able to kind of play bully ball, get to the rim. That's the kind of stuff I'm looking at, like outside of the handoff stuff, that they can really go north-south against the Celtics in a way that the Bucks made it really, really difficult for them. And if they were able to score on that defense, I like their chances.
I just think that the Celtics defense is a little bit more suited for playoff basketball. They can switch, right? Like they could also go to a drop and switch. So they could switch just off ball actions. They could switch just DHOs. Like they have the personnel to be able to do that. There's one guy that they play regular minutes that you can hunt a mismatch for, and that's Kemba Walker. But all of their other top defenders are so good at scram switching that he never really gets caught. And when he does, guess what? They just drop back. Okay, cool. We'll zone up. And I just think when you have the personnel that can do the things that they're able to do, right? Like it just gives you so much flexibility. It's a matchup nightmare. And in particular, if you don't have the talent to overcome the talent. And I just don't know that Miami has it. And I had said this in the last series too, but the coaching was the clear edge for Miami in that series. And in this series, I don't think that's the case. So I think Spo's a better coach, but it's not far and away better like it was in the last series. I just, you know, they're going to have, what, 5 or 6 of the best players, of the best 10 players in the series are going to be playing for the Celtics? Something like that?
About, yeah.
That I mean, matters.
You could have said the same for the Bucks.
Oh, no. And I did say the same. Difference being that Boston is actually athletic. They're not old. It's not going to be Pat Connaughton trying to chase – Duncan Robinson around.
I loved Paccon for minutes that series. Woof.
Yeah, of course. But you're just not going to get those, right? Like, they do a really good job of protecting Kemba defensively. And, you know, they can sit Kemba and their offense doesn't die. That's the other thing, is that, like, they can sit their worst defender and play only plus defenders and still score. So it's just tough, man. Like, they're really good. It's not that Miami's bad. I think Miami's good team who's, you know, like, was built to really destroy what Milwaukee does, in particular when you get to the playoffs. But, you know, at some point, the talent does win out. I mean, it's the NBA. It's kind of how it works.
Kevin, you and I have been texting a lot, particularly since that say. Dave is way more confident in your team than you are.
Yeah, so one thing with Miami that could give an issue is Jay Crowder shooting. That could be a big swing factor because
it could disappear.
It's going to regress. It has to regress. At it has to regress.
Here's the thing. Against Toronto, one of Tatum or Smart would play OG. And OG shot well, but he only shot like 4 attempts a game, right? So one of Tatum or Smart, whoever's guarding OG, could kind of sag off and play the nail, disrupt plays off ball. But against with Jay Crowder, he was Klay Thompson last series.
But
keeps up. Then
here's the deal. The reason that those passes, like, they weren't getting to the corner, and when they did, they were late. And that's because of the way that Boston plays defense. And it will be the exact same way for Miami because they're going to defend the actions exactly the same way. I mean, you know, the personnel are slightly different, but it's similar in concept. You know, you want to find Jay Crowder in the corner, but they are going to hound Dragic to the point where when he makes that pass, Crowder's no longer open. I mean, that's what they did against OG.
Frankie, I know that you're valiant in your Heat and Six. You have been very consistent. Dave's making me nervous, man. I'm shaking. I was a little more confident. Good. I was preening on the Heat beat account. I was saying Heat in 5. I was like, Bam is going to put Jason Tatum in prison. I was preening. I was avenge the Raptors, but I'm scared.
No, the viewers couldn't see. As soon as I said that, Dave was shaking his head and gave me a face. But it's definitely partly homer pick. I'm definitely worried about the Heat's point of attack defense, how they're going to contain Kemba and Smart. Smart not as much, but still the dribble drive is going to be a problem if Goran and the guards can't contain against the regular ball screens, stagger screens. Milwaukee didn't really have the guards to beat them to the basket. When they went when Giannis was out and they had the 2-point guard lineups with Bledsoe and Hill, they started giving Miami a lot more issues, especially when they went 5 out. They started killing them in game 4. You saw it against Indiana. Brogdon went off every game. He was getting whatever he wanted. That's my biggest concern with Kemba. Miami's biggest chance is if they have to get somebody in Boston to underperform. There's no way they're going – like, talent for talent, they're not going to beat them. Like Dave said, they have lottery talent. They have guys who are really good all over the court. You need to get some guys to underperform, and you need some Miami guys to overperform to win those minutes. You need Jay Crowder. You need your Duncan Robinson. Duncan Robinson can't shoot 38% this series if Miami wants to win. He needs to go 44% more up to his regular season numbers. You need stuff like that. You need Hero to take a leap. This needs to be a Bam series where he can attack the boards when they go super small with Hayward, Tatum, and Brown in the front court. Bam needs to dominate the boards. He needs to play them out of those lineups and those rotations. We haven't seen Bam do that as much, so it's wait and see for that.
You guys could also get some assistance if number 11 on a Celtics.
Your boy! Edis Cantor. I don't think Edis Cantor's going to play. Can't play Cantor. No, Edis Cantor.
Now, here's the thing, right? Like, I also think Kendrick Nunn's probably not going to play.
Yeah. No way.
He's not good. And, you know, you're now in the conference finals. Like, it's time. It's, you know, nut up time, basically. And you got to play your best players as much as you can. So Kendrick Nunn's out of the rotation. So for the Celtics, like, that's one less guy that they can target. But it also means Dragic and Hero are going to be out there more. And, I mean, the Celtics are going to pick on those guys. They are really going to go at them. And, you know, I will give the Heat a lot of credit. They're great at getting those guys out of the positions, you know, that you don't want them in. You don't want Goran on an island trying to guard Kemba Walker, right? And Miami, I think, has done an effective job of sending the help and just saying, we can scramble and make up for it, but we're going to send the help. We're not going to leave him out there. But at a certain point, it's just going to happen too often. You're going to either wear yourself out trying to scramble to cover or get caught, you know, halfway through, you know, where all these guys can pass for Boston too. So it just, you know, basketball is obviously it's art, not science. So we're all guessing here on how it's going to work out. But I just, when I look at what Boston does well, and when I look at what Miami does well, it just seems like Boston is able to cancel out more of Miami's good stuff than Miami is for Boston. Just
I will say,
put
like,
it simply.
I'm a little more confident in the Heat's offense, their half-court offense specifically, because I'm a little hard on Jalen. He struggles.
You're so hard on Jalen. Jalen's the coolest player you have. You're slandering Jalen Brown in text messages for days.
So I imagine the Celtics will come out and have him guard Jimmy just as they did with Siakam, right? But the Heat are way more creative with Jimmy, using him as a screener, using him as a cutter. He's not just going to straight up run post-ups the whole time, right?
They're also not going to guard him outside of 16 feet. Mm-hmm. Because not, Jimmy Butler taking jump shots is a victory.
Yeah.
So, and it's going to be just like that with Bam. So, you know, this idea that they're going to run those DHOs or whatever, I don't think Boston's even really that concerned about it. Because you know you just have to guard the shooter. So you'll see – I think you'll see Tice jumping those DHOs more often because they know they have Tatum or Brown who can rotate on the back line help. They're going to be – they're just going to be able to do so much because the Heat are going to have two non-shooters out there for the majority of the game.
See, Dave, but I think that's kind of a win because if you can get Bam on the short roll and he's really proven that he's really willing to hit those guys in the corners, willing to hit the guys that are cutting. And Duncan, I think the biggest – kind of not improvement because like he didn't really play last year, but the biggest development in his game this year has been that little dump off pass when he sees the help coming, right? So if Tice is going to jump on that handoff, he knows exactly. And that's what the Raptors did so well against the Heat in the regular season. OG was able to switch that and Norman Powell did a good job fronting. So that's kind of what I'm worried about if the Celtics kind of mimic that kind of coverage and Duncan freezes for that half second and that window's gone. So that's the thing I'm most worried about in those handoff coverages. So I kind of think they're going to go more pick and roll, Jimmy Butler and Gorin up top. Miami has a lot of wing defenders that I'm actually confident about, and I've been really down on this defense all year. I don't like how on all these broadcasts they're saying, oh, the Heat are a good defensive team. No, they're not. They've been bad all year. They've been dog shit. They've been carved up by the Charlotte Hornets, by the Knicks.
They were good. They were good against a team that was literally out there trying to do one thing over and over and over and over again. And you've got a really great coach. Like, I'm sorry, you could have given him a peewee basketball team. He probably could have been able to defend the Bucks after they just did it was just like, give the ball to Giannis and run into the wall over and over and over again. And then you saw when Giannis was out, like they struggled to create offense with the best player in the league on the court. That's a problem. But when he got off the court, They had to vary their attack, and Miami actually struggled a little bit to keep up. And so it's just like, if you know what's coming, it's easy to defend. And so you can make a bad defense look good in a short series, especially by just saying, you know what, we're stopping the thing that you think is the best thing for you to do. But with Boston, you can't do that. Like, they're not quite the death by a thousand back cuts that Miami's offense is, but there's a lot of movement away from the ball. They've got, I mean, everybody on the court outside of Tice is going to be a playmaker. Every single person can do something off the dribble. They can be the ball handler in the pick and roll. Hell, a lot of those guys can be the roll man in the pick and roll as well. Like Marcus Smart is a roll man, is actually kind of an interesting wrinkle that we've seen a few times. And so they just can do so much more stuff that how do you prepare? Like, you can't just say we're going to build a wall and we're going to win this game that way like you did against the Bucks. And so, you know, I just say – I cannot throw out completely the large sample size of the regular season. I cannot do it. I won't allow myself to do it because I think it's bad practice. And it's how I wound up, you know, picking the Bucks in five, right? Well, I'm going to stick to my guns on this. And Boston, fourth best offense, fourth best defense. I just don't see how they're going to lose this series to Miami. Now, they're probably wound up getting swept just because I'm saying this.
You're being a real coach, bud. You're really sticking to your guns.
I mean, listen, again, large sample size matters. And also knowing the difference between Boston and Milwaukee is not difficult to do.
Right.
Boston, we've already seen how they switch things up. They adjusted to Toronto in game one. They changed their transition defense. they just changed it completely game one because they knew Toronto's offense relied on scoring in transition. So they took it away immediately. Well, Milwaukee didn't do any of that. They could have been switching away from the ball early on to take away the back cuts and all and the back screens and all the stuff that they struggled to contain. They never did it. I mean, they would start doing it like middle of the third quarter or something, but it's like now you're stuck in mud. Like you could have done that from the jump and maybe it's not that big of a deal.
The thing I'll say is that Miami has a lot of bodies and they have a lot of wing bodies to throw at Tatum and to throw at Jaylen, to throw at Marcus. And I think that they are as equipped in terms of having wing defenders at those positions as anybody not named Toronto. Right. So other than the Kemba matchup defensively, we're really concerned about that. They did a decent job in the regular season. And the other thing about that is Jimmy didn't play in the one bubble game. And then before that, the last game was in January and Deion Waiters, James Johnson, and Chris Silva all played double digit minutes. I mean, you could throw that fucking game out the window. That doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, the team's completely different now. And even post trade up until the bubble, I mean, they were still really working out their switch defense. The Heat were almost exclusively a drop scheme. They were dropping everything. They were dropping Bam and Myers all the time. And now they're switching a bunch of stuff. And it took a little bit to get that going. I know they creep. I think they're at 12 defensively, 12 or 11. They kind of creeped up as hard as I've been on them. So I'm not as concerned about the Tatum scoring and the Jaylen scoring. I know Jaylen's not a great one-on-one player. It's more the Kemba stuff and the pick and roll. And I think Miami will pretty much switch anything unless it's Dragic onto a big at this point. And I think that they'll live with the results of that. And I don't think that's terrible. And that's like, I just don't think they're going to have as difficult a time defending Boston as people think.
Yeah, but even Dragic switching on a big, they'll do that. And then the wing will, whoever's on the weak side wing will switch with Dragic and Dragic will go on the corner. So, I mean, there's options. It's definitely the biggest concern is going, has always remained with, for me, the point of the attack, how Miami's going to scramble with the driving kick. They haven't really faced it in the playoffs with guys who are consistent threats. You know, like Milwaukee, one of the biggest things about Milwaukee, like we talked about, you can live with Brook Lopez shooting 12 threes a game. If Brook Lopez hits 5 out of 12, that you tip your cap and you move on. You can't do that with Jaylen Brown, with Jason Tatum, Kemba Walker. It's a lot more offensive weapons. I'm definitely more concerned. I wanted Toronto for that reason, but
but see, but the thing is, like Toronto 1 through 5 defensively, like there are no gaps,
right?
And that's where I look at what Boston was able to do against that defense, and then I look at Miami and I just say individually, of course, NBA defense is about the sum of your parts, but when you look at the individual parts that Boston will attack, they are weaker on the whole. And mostly individually. I mean, outside of Bam and Jimmy, I don't think any of those guys would be considered plus defenders. Average.
I think Jay and Andre have been really, especially Andre since he's gotten his sea legs under him, has been good. And I was really tough on Andre. I'm a big Justice Winslow guy, so I was.
A lot's going to be asked for Andre this series, particularly because the Celtics really love.
So there's another non-shooter.
Yeah, the Celtics. Their three bench guys: Wanamaker, Semi, and whoever their backup center is. Those guys, Brad really loves to have either one of Kemba or Tatum just carry those lineups on offensively. And a lot's going to be asked for Andre to defend.
Those guys are not going to play that much. I mean, that's the thing. You're going to get their top 5 or 6 guys around 40 minutes. And the bench is
– Boston's, right?
Yeah. They're going to play big-time minutes. And they're going to try – I mean, they're going to try to get this thing done in 4. I don't think they're going to do that. But, I mean –
Dave, you are so confident in this.
I don't know what else to be. Like, I mean, I'm just being honest with
you.
No,
listen,
I looked at this. I think it's a much more fun story if Miami goes to the finals. I think it's way more fun because that's even more unpredictable. It's a 5 seed. They really only have 1 star player. Bam is like, you know, on his way, but they've got 1 star and then they've got a bunch of role players. They couldn't give Goran away. You know, like Dallas could have had Goran for free and didn't take him. Like that's a great story. So, like, I would love that from just a basketball fan perspective. Also, I love to watch Spoelstra cook. And it'd be great to see how he schemed against LeBron because I've got some theories on how he would do that. But I just don't see it happening. I think Boston's going to win this. I don't necessarily think it's going to feel close.
I've had my concerns, and I think consistently throughout this whole season, I think the Celtics have been the team that I've been most worried about. And I don't know why, as time has gone on, it's what Frankie, you know, like I've been really saying, like, I don't really want to see Kevin Walker. I mean, that's it's a little, yeah, I'm a little nervous about this. I'm a little nervous. And I don't know. I've really come around because of the way that they've been able to really hit on the switch defense. I wrote about this in August. I don't remember when. How much that they've improved and really kind of being disciplined on those schemes. They can switch off-ball stuff and all that. I agree with a lot of your points, Dave. And I'm not, like, I may say Heat in 5 on Twitter, but I think I'm texting Kevin at Celtics in 6. I'm a fraud. I'm a fraud for the timeline. Love of the fame, as our friend Samus Findiari. Also on the Blue Wire Podcast Network, check out Light Years. Check out the Chase Down, all our friends here at Blue Wire. Check out all our stuff going on. I'm worried about the matchup, but I just feel better. And I think the Jimmy Dragic kind of pick and roll stuff is some late game offense that they haven't had all year. The Heat have been really bad in crunch time. And I think during the Bucks series, they kind of had this revelation of getting these small guys on Jimmy to shoot over. I really like that. And we haven't really talked about Jimmy at all. Funny enough. And kind of the matchup. Do not see.
This I did the concern. Same thing. You know, I wrote a preview for the Pacers series, and I barely talked about Jimmy Butler because the thing is, it's like, what else is there to say? You know what Jimmy Butler is about. You know what he's going to do. I mean, you know, I talked a little bit about how I didn't think we would see Warren guarding him, you know, just because why would Indiana mess their scheme up? Warren sliding up. But it's the truth. I know Jimmy Butler, and I've talked about this on the Boston pod that I did earlier, where I trust Jimmy more than anybody else in the series, but that doesn't swing the series. Jimmy is going to give you 20 points a game in this series, no matter what, right? Like that's what that's your floor. You know, you're going to get bulldog defense, and you know, he's going to make big plays on both ends. Like he is a playmaker defensively as well as offensively. And so to a certain degree, he winds up being the last guy I even think about because I know what I'm getting. Right. Like it's the other guys that I think are the concern for Miami. Jimmy Butler is Jimmy Butler and he's going to perform. Is Bam going to perform? How's Bam going to look against Tice? Because, you know, Tice is really good. I mean, he anchored the fourth best defense in the league. And we don't, for some reason, don't talk about him being a smaller center like the way we talk about Bam. The guy is really good. Good rebounder. Good 3-point shooter. Vertical spacer. Like he's great at timing cuts from the dunker spot to pick up those easy lobs. Like this is like the double OT game the other night. Like he was a monster in overtime. So there's so much more interesting stuff than talking about Jimmy, because with Jimmy, I think it's just like, we know that story. We know what he's going to do. It's how are his teammates going to perform? Is Goran going to stay scorching hot? Probably. I have no reason to doubt it at this point. Can Duncan Robinson get open enough? You know, can he shoot 44, 45% like he probably needs to do? Is Tyler Hero gonna play a lot? I still don't know.
That's been wild, Dave. I mean, you know, Eric Spoelstra trusts a 20-year-old the way he's trusting him. Like, very famously, Eric Spoelstra, Michael Beasley.
We didn't have any options, right? Like, yeah. I mean, it's not like he's.
I mean, there's Andre's right there. You know what I mean? Like, I think Spo maybe a couple of years ago would have written Andre and his broken ass jump shot over the rookie.
Well, that's the problem, right? Yeah. Like, you can't play 3 non-shooters. It sucks that you already played 2.
Andre Iguodala game has to be coming soon, because every Warriors series just 1 20-point explosion before he goes back to shooting over 4. He's way overdue.
When I was watching film, the Celtics were totally okay. It's like, Andre, you can shoot all you want. We're not going to put a defender within 10 feet of you. That shot, you could have. And they were just over help on Bam. I don't think the Celtics have a good answer for Bam, Dave. I mean, everything I've watched, and as good as Tice is, he's always trailing when they get Bam going downhill. I really like what Eric Spoelstra did a lot. They were kind of having Bam coming off ball screens, and they would have the like action up top with Olynyk, and then they kind of have Duncan screening for Bam and him back cutting. The Celtics really didn't have a lot of answers for that. It ended up with Marcus Smart down low, and Bam either gets offensive rebounds or dunks. So that's the kind of stuff I see that Spoelstra can kind of finagle. And that's what I would look at.
I also feel like I feel like Bam would be more impactful defensively this series, because if you look at the bigs that the Celtics have faced, Joel Embiid, Al Horford, both love to drop. You have Marcus Gasol or Ibaka, again, both left the draw. Bam's the first guy who can come up, show high, switch, do whatever.
And they're going to space the floor with Tice and open up the lanes to the basket.
But if Tice is going to shoot, I mean, the Heat are going to... What is he, a 33% shooter?
Yeah.
But he's a shooter, though. You have to guard him. Like, he's going to shoot.
They're going to defend him like they do Brooklyn.
Now, if they want to just let him shoot all day, I'm sure Boston would be like, okay, we'll play this game.
Then you have him do a dribble.
Yeah, but that's a win. Exactly. That's a win if you're the Heat. I don't think the Celtics are happy with that.
He's going to go into an unguarded DHO with Tatum or with Kemba, and then all of a sudden, now you've got some kind of crazy mismatch happening. And I'm telling you right now, I think that they would love if they just switched that straight up and had Kemba on Bam.
Oh, the Heat like that.
What's going to happen?
No, the Heat like that.
No. The Heat like that, but no. The Celtics like it. Not for a scoring perspective. They want to make Bam work, and they want to get him in foul trouble.
So I imagine that they're not going to switch. They'll switch that stuff like midway third quarter on or when, like, you know, when it matters. He'd also tried a lot of zone against the Celtics. I thought that was a bit of an interesting wrinkle, and Boston had a bit of an issue figuring it out. Kemba was on the bench.
Until halftime?
Huh?
Yeah.
It was like
after half they came back, and they finally started getting Hayward the ball at the nail.
Yeah.
I mean, that's high school basketball, right? Like, it's amazing that it took that long to figure that out. But Hayward, and I think he's going to play in this series, but Hayward's kind of like the perfect guy for that because he's a good passer. He's a good mid-range shooter. And so, like, you can't really zone up if he's going to be out there because he could kill you in the middle.
I think Kemba's a guy that scares me a lot, too, in those situations because he can kind of trigger the offense and then kind of flare out and get those passes off of that.
It's going to be a fun-ass series, right? Like, the grifting hours aside, where I'm going to be beside myself.
Who's the biggest grifter in this series? Not Marcus Smart's number one. Who's
Smart,
number two?
It's Smart or Goran.
It's Jimmy. Why not Jimmy?
No,
Jimmy's good at
Smart or Goran, I think.
Didn't Jimmy have, like, a higher free throw rate than Harden?
Jimmy had a Harden-ish free throw rate this year. It was insane. I could not believe it.
But the way he attacks the basket, like, he gets legitimately fouled quite a bit. But, you know, Smart and Goran are going
to
be pretty bad.
It's going to
be an awful series for this. Kelly, like, we didn't even talk about Kelly Olynyk.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, have you thought about Kelly Olynyk versus Boston and how, like, much of an
really good
asshole he's going to flop so bad?
Oh, it's going to be great. I love it. I'm all for Kelly flops. I love it.
We're gonna see a double flop between Marcus Smart and Kelly Olynyk at some point.
Dave, I know you got to go soon.
We're going to see Boston.
I want to ask you a couple quick things. First thing, how often do you think Miami goes two bigs? Because in that bubble game, that really worked out. And Miami is kind of showing it a little bit, going Bam and Kelly. I wonder what you think, how often they'll do that.
You know what? I don't think they're going to get away from what has worked for them so far in the playoffs. We'll probably see it a little bit, but not much. Because, you know, Boston's kind of big, right? Like, they have all these 6'7", 6'8", guys. And so, you know, when you go two bigs, it's not like you're really getting that much of an advantage. And Olynyk at least is a really good passer as well. So, you know, if you play Olynyk and Bam together, you've got a floor spacer and two really good passers. So I think you can do stuff there. But I expect both of these teams to try to play their five best guys as much as possible. That's the one thing that is like, there is no guesswork on this. It's the conference finals. Put your best people on the court and let them play. Don't try doing this minutes limit thing in the playoffs, you know, like if your best players are playing 32 minutes a game, clearly there's something wrong. Not that any coach would ever do anything like that.
Never.
The playoffs.
No ever. Coach of the year would ever do that. No award.
Dave.
Yo.
Dave, what's the percentage that Hayward comes back? Like, not, like if he's like 70%, do you give Miami a better chance?
No, because I think the Celtics are fine without him. But if he comes back, I mean, you know, if he comes back, I think he's going to be fine. Otherwise, I don't think that they would play him, to be honest. Like, they're not in the habit of playing guys when they're, you know, they're hurt recently. It's been a few years.
If he's not there, that's more Wanamaker or Ojale, which I think bodes really well.
That's good for Miami.
That's really good.
Especially Ojale.
Until Brad turns Ojale into like the Bam stopper or something crazy like that, you know, just.
Oh, that's coming.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Before you get out, I want to ask you this cliche ass question, but I want you to give it an X and O spin. What do you think Miami has to, like, really, like, tactically, what do you think Miami has to force Boston into that you're going to give them a realistic shot? Not something vague like overperforming. Like, what do you think that Miami could do that would give them a shot if it works?
I mean, I think you gotta trap Kemba and get the ball, try to get the ball out of his hands. Like, basically, you have to limit Kemba because Kemba increases Boston's ceiling so much. And you saw when they went box and one, when Toronto did, it kind of threw the Celtics for a loop offensively. I'm not saying you should go that far, right? Because Jason Tatum is really good. Like, Jason Tatum could be the best player in this series. It's close. It's a toss-up, I think. Between
Zach Lowe went to Jimmy, which I'll defer to Zach Lowe.
Well, I went to Jimmy. I was asked this exact question today, and I went with Jimmy because I know that he can do it on this level. But I think Jason Tatum could very quickly prove us all wrong. And so, you know, just taking Kemba out is not enough, but it's a good start. Put pressure on him. I mean, if Marcus Smart is killing you going 6-for-11 from three, it means that you did the right thing, because Marcus Smart just, like, that's such an aberration from him. You know, like, if he's taking 10 threes a game, you're winning. Right. And but the difference being that Boston could just defend so well that if they're getting offense from a guy like, you know, that much offense from Marcus Smart, you know, you're also not going to score against them on the other end.
Dave, man, I really appreciate your time, dude. You can find Dave on The Athletic. Check out Basketball Buds, one of my favorite and the best basketball podcasts. Nerder, She Wrote, excellent staple listening. Subscribe to The Athletic. Find The Athletic NBA Show on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you get your podcasts. Dave, you have anything else you want to plug on your way out?
No, I'm going to actually steal that clip and have that now on the end of my podcast so I don't have to plug it, because
it's
a lot better than I normally do. So.
Take care, my friend. Thank you so much for the time, man.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Dave.
No problem.
See you guys.
Take care.
Good to see you, Kev.
Good to see you too, Dave.
Did someone say playoffs, NBA and NHL are playing for gold and our partners Bet Online have you covered? Get in on all the action, including a new NBA bracket contest with plenty of chances to win. MLB season is pushing into fall, and there's no shortage of ways to bet with hundreds of odds, futures, and props. So take advantage of the return of sports. And remember, the casino never closes. Check it out all day, all night. Go to betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your welcome bonus. That's betonline.ag, promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online sportbook experts. Look at Kev having friends in high places. That was Dave Dufour of The Athletic. Remember, everybody, join our Discord channel. We will link that in the description as well. We are tweeting all the time. We got emotes. Listen, just as a spoiler alert, I'm going to try to coerce Nikias into a Q&A exclusively on our Discord page. Now, I haven't asked Nikias if he can do this yet, but we are going to bully him into doing this. I already set it up in the Discord and everything. Also, remember, guys, our stream, our Miami Heat Beat post-game stream is coming to you live after game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. Dave is wrong. Dave thinks that this is going to be a 4 or 5-game series. He's wrong. He has no guts. I respect him too much to tell him to his face. He is wrong, okay? We are out here. Kevin is scared of us. Kevin, how scared are you of the Heat?
14-4.
Oh, my God. Dave scared me so much. Oh, my God. Dave has me shook that the Heat will never score a basket against them. The Celtics are going to score
Dave's logic is exactly what my brain is telling me about this series. Has been telling me about Boston as a potential matchup. My heart won't allow it. I'm too much a cocky Heat fan.
Dave made great points. Yes. He's one of the people I respect most in this industry. I was like, damn it, stop sounding so smart. I want to be Heat 5.
See, on my side, like, I saw Jalen leave OG in game 3, and now I'm saying, like, okay, what if that's Duncan Robinson in the corner? What if that's Tyler Hero?
My concern is also Tyler Hero's girlfriend is in the bubble now. So where's his focus at? You saw him take a leap. Is he going to take a step back? Now things are back to normal for him. Got to get him to social distance from her a little bit. Get your head back in the game, Tyler. Make sure you deliver. Because we really want to make this the series for the first time in years that Boston hates the white guys.
Bro, I'm going to tell you something. I playing the Celtics, Kev, brings back 2012 Heat fan.
Are we reminiscing about Wade breaking Rondo's elbow?
Stop with that, man. I'm sick of you people and the Ramon Sessions people. Stop it. He's not Chris Paul. Stop it. Get out of here. This is ridiculous. I can't I don't like the Celtic team. I don't like Danny Ainge. I don't like their asset hoarding. I don't want it rewarded. Same reason I don't want the Lakers to win. I don't want LeBron rewarded for falling backwards into a good team. That team has two good players, maybe three if Danny Green plays well. I don't like that.
It just happens to be the best duo in the league.
It's just so annoying. They don't have a third best player. They all suck. They're playing Markieff Morris a lot of minutes. What the fuck?
It's Alex Caruso, man. Come on.
I hate it. It's weird. The Clippers.
It's weird that Jermichael Green is like buried at the end of the Clippers rotation, and he'd probably be the Lakers' third best player. But I'm so confident in
Kelly Olynyk would be the Lakers' third best player.
I'm so confident in the Lakers stomping the Clippers right now.
Would Olynyk be the Lakers' third best player?
Let's relax a little bit.
I don't think Kyle Kuzma. I think Kyle Kuzma would be the worst rotation player on the Heat.
He's okay. Let's relax.
I'm dead ass. Like, I don't think maybe he's better than Kendrick Nunn. He's not better than Olynyk. I would not. If you ask me right now, would you rather have Kyle Kuzma or Kelly Olynyk? I'm taking the guy that's shooting like almost 50% from three on the year. I'm sorry.
Kuz is a pretty improved wing defender.
That's fine. They have enough of those. I don't. And he's not. I would rather have Jay Crowder than him. I'll tell you that right now. Until Jay regresses, because it's gonna happen. Because he's a mediocre shooter, and I have to keep up this bit.
There you go. Keep it up. Keep it up.
He's gonna regress this series. He's gonna crash to earth. Like Dave said, the Heat are not gonna make a single shot.
Secret spy.
The Heat are gonna go. The Heat are gonna go 0-300 in this series, according to Dave Dufour. And according to Kevin, the Celtics are going to go 0-500.
I'm more worried about.
Do you
about...
think this is a? All right, go ahead.
You go.
No, I was going to ask you. Are you confident in Jaylen this series?
Offensively, yes. Defensively, not so much because the Heat have real shooters, and Jaylen struggled a lot. Especially if you look at that double overtime game. He left Norman Powell, I think, for both of those threes, just ball watching. And what I don't want them to do,
it's Norman
I don't
Powell,
want them,
dude. Come on.
I don't want them to trick. I don't want the Celtics to trick themselves in thinking they could have Jaylen guard Jimmy just because it worked on Bam, because Jimmy does a lot more off ball work, a lot more cutting, and he's probably going to torch Jaylen. Like honestly,
I actually don't like that. I don't like the length. I'm always anti length.
Okay. I would probably stick Jaylen on Jay and then have Marcus guard Jimmy and then have Tatum.
You're mad at Jaylen for guarding Norman Powell. You want him to guard Jay, Klay Thompson, Crowder?
It'll regress, like you said.
It's going to regress. And yeah, I would probably defend him like Andre.
I feel like taking out Duncan and Harrow is a big part of Boston's game plan because I would probably put Tatum on one of them. Tatum this year has done a lot more awful work, but rookie Tatum, sophomore Tatum, chased those guys around screens a lot, like the J.J. Redicks, the Klay Thompsons, for example.
I don't see this being a big Duncan series. I do think that
It's not specifically him. It's just that if he gets open, then suddenly the defense has to collapse on him, and that opens up a lot more for the other guys.
He doesn't get like super open against them. He gets open enough, and I think that the difference between regular season Duncan and playoff Duncan has been that 2 feet of space has suddenly become half a foot of space. And he's good enough a shooter that he's still, what is he, shooting like 38% from three. I mean, that's elite, right? That's a good fucking shooter, right? And that's a well-covered, you know what I mean? That's not wide open three. That's a well-defended contested three that he's shooting 38% on, right? Like he's been very good. And I think that the people that are upset with him because he has some bad games, you know, it's not fair to him. And I think the dummy actions they run for him are huge. But if he can occupy a good Celtic defender, that's going to be huge. And even if he doesn't go off, I think he'll get open enough that he'll hit enough shots to justify keeping him on the floor and kind of greasing the wheels of the offense a bit. That'd be my biggest thing. And I think offensively, they're going to be mostly okay. I mean, Dave made it seem like they're just that the Heat aren't going to score. And I understand that the Celtics are a really good defensive team. And I know the switching is going to be a different look for them. But this is something we couldn't get into. I mean, Spo's going to have a whole week to deal. I mean, both the Raptors and the Celtics switch, right? And in a lot of ways, it's very similar kind of wings. So I think Eric, with a week advance, I mean, they're going to be able to run more off-ball stuff. Like I said, they're going to get Bam off screens, kind of going downhill. The Heat also played a lot faster against the Celtics in the bubble. I don't know if that's something that makes an appearance. I don't know if that was a product of Jimmy not playing, and just by Jimmy not playing, they just play faster. They don't have a guy pounding the ball. That could be an option to kind of grease. I just think that the Heat are going to be enough, a good enough of an offensive team that they're going to be able to score the way they want. I don't know if they can defend Kemba Walker, and I think that's where the series, like Dave said, I think that's where the series is going to come down to.
Right, because Kemba going from Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet to Goran Dragic.
I mean, Goran's been playing
a bit of an issue.
I mean, Goran's been playing amazing. I mean, let's not. You know how I feel. Everybody knows how I feel about Kyle and Freddie, but you know, Goran has been absolutely outstanding this playoffs. Dude is doing it on like he's become a three level scorer, getting to the free throw line. Getting to the rim and shooting the ball from three super well off step backs. That little step back he added this year, Frankie, been fucking huge for him all year. Talk about a guy in his 30s adding a step back three into his game. How big that is for a guy that does so much damage off the dribble and off handoffs.
Yeah, he gets he's sneaky getting to the line a lot off those threes when they go over and he does a little flop and toss. Which I hate that they call, but you know it's part of the game.
Grifting.
So Goran, yeah, grifting. Goran always came into Miami with the step back mid range. He loved that, and he slowly extended it out. Has become a way better threat as a three level scorer now. He wasn't that good of a 3-point shooter when he came to Miami. As he lost a step, he realized he had to become a much better knockdown shooter, and he's been so reliable. So on the ball, off the ball, off the catch, but, you know, he's been amazing. And then the playoffs, man, he's taken another leap. He's like 34 years. How old is he? Like 4 years old.
Goran, 33.
Yeah, 33. He's like you don't see guys take those leaps that often where they're just improving and adding to their game. And it's been one of the biggest factors because he's easily been their third best player all season.
Damn, you know what we didn't get to ask Dave? You know, all this James Harden shit on the timeline because I just saw it on Twitter. We couldn't ask him to slander James Harden, shut up all these Rocket fans and said he was better than Dwayne Wade.
We'll do it for him.
Dude, I feel so vindicated right now. I was like, Dwayne Wade would never. Let me tell you something. It's offensive to see the level of quit in James Harden. Offensive.
My God, man.
It's just spineless. It's like watching this Clipper team. No soul. Just zero soul. Zero heart. I've never seen a better player with less heart than James Harden.
Wow. I mean, it's tough to expect Harden and the Clippers to put in constant effort when you have, you know, a 5-year finals run and all this championship hangover that they've had.
I mean, look, the Clippers. Did you see that game today?
I did.
Oh, my God. Listen. Frankie, we know. We've watched many a playoff battles with Paul George. Spineless.
Spineless.
Spineless. Most spineless, lame superstar, if you can even call him that.
It's crazy because Paul George is the number one option. He was a fucking monster. But we've seen the last couple years. I mean, injuries have played a factor in it probably, with his, especially the shooting shoulder. But, man, he's just – like, he gets so comfortable playing as a second option, and he's just not the same fucking guy.
He does too many curling off picks to shoot threes in important moments. Yeah. He does way too much of that. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, and you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the most important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere right now at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply, only valid through September 30th. Dakota. Like, and that's
just hasn't. He also just hasn't been able to get to the rim as often because of that broken leg.
That's true. That's fair.
That's an undertalked story about him. Like, he's lost so much athleticism. Like, the last monster dunk from Paul George was, like, prior to that injury that I can remember.
Is it that he doesn't want to do it because he doesn't want to get hurt, or he can't?
I think he just can't. Like, he's become such a good shooter that it's kind of offset it. But, I mean, younger Paul George was an athletic freak.
You know, speaking of athleticism, that's kind of the one thing the Heat haven't really had all season. And I know, I mean, Jimmy, who's their most athletic guy at this point?
Bam,
yeah. I mean, on the wing, Jimmy, maybe?
Andre, maybe?
I don't know. That. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? After Bam, there's a pretty
significant... He's JJ, but he doesn't play.
Yeah, I mean, Derek's not really, like, a guy that they're going to count on in the playoffs. I mean, like, of the guys that play, like, they're not really a team that's, like, charged with athleticism. Like, Jalen... That's the other thing I kind of worry about Jalen is that, you know, Jalen can jump out of the gym and they're not really have a springy guy other than Derek, but I don't think Derek's going to be able to play that often. So kind of the gap in athleticism. When's the last time the Heat had an athletic team?
It's been a long minute.
I don't even think the big three was that athletic outside of LeBron and Dwayne.
No, I remember the addition of Birdman was still talked about because he finally had a lob catching big man.
They had a rolling big man.
We had a big man who could catch. That was big deal.
Remember, like,
no more Joel Anthony?
Bro, no Joel more had
Dexter Pittman.
Hands of stone, Dexter Pittman.
Eddie Curry.
The Heat started Dexter Pittman in an important game where they were down in a series against Indiana on the road.
They won.
Baby Eric Spoelstra's like, I got this, man. I got this.
He played like 4 minutes and had like two fouls and was done.
That's okay. But the important thing was Shane started at the fourth game. Yeah, the Heat haven't had an athletic team in a long time. And this team might be their most athletic team in a long time. And it's still not like, you know what I mean? It's not a...
It was the 09 Heat when it was Wade and Marion on the wings.
That was 2008. Marion was not there in 2009. They traded.
No, it was 08-09. Remember, they traded Marion at the deadline.
For J.O.
Yeah. They had him in the beginning of the season, and they traded him right before the All-Star game.
Good old playoff J.O. in 2010.
Jamario Moon? Yeah. Yakobo
Jamario
Diarra?
Moon.
What a team.
Oh, fuck you, Kuba, forever.
On the eve of the Eastern Conference Finals, we are talking Yakobo Diarra and Jamario Moon.
Mario Chalmers.
Oh, man. He would have helped in this series. If they had Chalmers, I'd feel better.
He was supposed to be the next Rondo, the next breakout.
He was the next Rondo.
He was better. Two rings.
Remember that 20?
Has Rondo ever hit a big shot in his life?
Yeah, game 7 against Philly.
Oh, what the eighth seed.
Oh, yeah. My God, that team. Yeah. One big shot.
The Uncut Gems game.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've never seen Uncut Gems, but everybody I tell, I always tell them that they're not a sports fan. I go, I want you to
I think
know
you're gonna, you would hate it.
That
you
the Heat
it.
Are going to – you know my take about films, right?
No, but you
I think,
would hate it.
I think film is a flawed medium. I don't like movies. I think movies are a flawed medium. I think they're too short. I think that
says the guy of the anime podcast.
Yeah, listen, check me out. Subtitled anime. Find me on Apple Pods. Yeah, I'm not a big film guy. The last film I saw that wasn't an anime movie was Get Out. How about that? It's been that long. I don't know. I don't watch movies. we've driven this podcast.
Traumatic.
Yeah. Remember, guys, remember to follow our Discord. I've said it again. This is something that we're having a lot of fun with. We're active in there all the time. People from all over the world. So there's lots of time zones going on. There's always people talking. Check that out. The link is going to be in the description. Remember, our live stream, game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals, is going to be myself, producer and co-founder Brian Goins, statistician and pun master Nikias Duncan, and statistician and photoshopper Christian Hernandez. We are going to anchor. We are going to lead our first ever Miami Heat pregame show, postgame show, right after game 1. So as soon as game 1 finishes, we are going to be on twitch.tv/MIAHeapy, and we're going to be giving you a live postgame show filled with highlights. We're going to be able to produce. I've really worked hard. So Brian M., shout out to Brian M. Has really helped with the stream, and we're gonna be able to pull highlights and then directly go to them on the stream live. We're gonna be able to pause them. Nikias is gonna break down some plays. We're all gonna learn. It's gonna be great. Kristen's gonna have jokes and stats. And that's going to be a staple until there's no more Heat playoffs. So, and that's going to keep on in the regular season as well. So please be there for the first day of our stream. Remember, that's twitch.tv/MIHeatBeat. And then remember to follow us on Discord. Kev, where do people find you?
You can find me at KevKage_ on Twitter. That's KevKage_.
So we're gonna finish with predictions. Dave, do four. Opened the show. What did he say? Celtics in five. Disgusting. He said Celtics in four to try to hurry it up. Frankie, what do you got?
My heart.
After Dave's apocalyptic analysis, what would you say?
I'll give Celtics another game. Heat in seven.
Ah! All right. I am going to go.
Go with what you text. Go with what you texted me.
I'm going to go Celtics in six. I'm not going to lie to the public. I'm going to be honest. I say Heat in five on the timeline, but I'm being honest. I'm being a genuine human being right now. I have no.
Johnny also picked the Bucks. You also picked the Bucks.
I did pick the Bucks. I picked the Heat against the Pacers, though.
I will go Celtics in seven.
Wow. You both of you had this go to
seven. A game seven scares me because of that potential Andre Iguodala game. I've watched too many words.
Because you have no guts. Because Jason Tatum has no guts.
How does it feel
Brad as a Raptors Stevens fan? Has no guts.
How Eric does it feel?
Heart of a champion. Heart of a – Udonis Haslam's in those huddles. Heart of a champion. Jimmy Butler has injected the culture, has snorted the culture. He is the culture. Heat.
I have one question for you.
Celtics and six.
After going so many years seeing Paul Pierce beat the Raptors, how does it feel to see the riches of the Paul Pierce trade now beat the Raptors?
Ooh.
I fucking hate you, dude. There we go.
This is really the assets, the process culture matchup that we always pretend Philly is, because Boston really committed to it. They stuck with the GM and the coach.
No, fuck that. I don't want their asset hoarding rewarded. I don't want that rewarded. I'm sorry. I don't.
Oh, this matchup is this matchup is a nightmare for Sixers fans.
And at the end of the day, Kev, that's all that matters.
Philly takes another loss, no matter what. It's amazing.